Mr. President, let me first of all start by expressing on behalf of the five co-facilitators our sincere gratitude to you for your trust in and guidance to us. I also thank wholeheartedly my colleagues, co-facilitators, His Excellency Mr. Solomon Ehed, Permanent Representative of Cameroon, Her Excellency Ms. Claudia Fuentes, Permanent Representative of Chile, His Excellency Mr. Jérôme Bonafont, Permanent Representative of France, and Her Excellency Ms. Hend Abdelrahman Al-Muftah, Permanent Representative of Qatar, for their engagement and substantive participation in our collective effort. Special thanks, of course, go to the co-facilitators' teams, whose support was most instrumental for the accomplishment of our work. Let me also commend the support of your team, Mr. President, and of the OACHR. The co-facilitation process has benefited greatly of the assistance vision of Mr. Eric Tistounet, and we extend our appreciation to the Geneva Academy for their support. Finally, the co-facilitators express gratitude to all stakeholders that have participated in the discussions, member states, NGOs, and mandate holders. The full link, list of acknowledgements will be, of course, integrated into the written version of this statement that will be uploaded to the HRC's website. Now, let me briefly inform you about the work of the co-facilitators, starting with our mandate. Mr. President, let me recall that in your letter dated February 14, 2024, you appoint us, five co-facilitators, one from each regional group, to facilitate discussions and dialogue on the contribution of Geneva to the General Assembly process to review the status of the Human Rights Council. From the outset, our shared understanding was that almost 20 years after its creation, the Council has proven able to fulfill its mandate, but was also faced with new challenges, as it was almost becoming a permanent body with a lengthening agenda and increasingly diverse and specialized issues on it, against the backdrop of multiplying conflicts and crises. The Council's work seems to be constantly reaching its limits in the context of a continued liquidity crisis and budgetary difficulties of the OHCHR. The imminent Human Rights Council status review, according to UN General Assembly Resolution 65/281, is offering a unique opportunity to consider ways and means of addressing the challenges and overcoming some of the hurdles that affect the effectiveness and efficiency of the Council's work. Those were the reasons why you tasked us, Mr. President, with initiating open-ended informal brainstormings to take stock of the Council's achievements in each of the key areas of its mandate. Let me stress that we, the co-facilitators, recognized there was currently no formal role foreseen in the resolution of the General Assembly for the Human Rights Council to play in the review of its status by the Assembly. But we were also of the opinion that the Human Rights Council had a moral duty to contribute to the process by initiating a self-assessment of its achievements in the context of its current status and the impact this status may have had on its work. This self-assessment exercise was designed at enabling the members of the Council to move beyond accusations of selectivity by objectifying the Council's achievements, the challenges faced, and lessons learned, as well as future opportunities. We have never sought to resolve the question of the Council's status itself, nor to take a stance on the question whether it is necessary or not to review and redraft the institutional package. We rather agreed to try to address a wide range of issues relating to the Council and its mechanisms in conjunction with the parallel co-facilitation processes, especially on the UPR and the Council's efficiency, also keeping in mind other UN processes such as the Summit of the Future. For that purpose, we conducted consultations that were as broad and open as possible, involving member states within our respective regional groups and civil society. Our work unfolded through several stages. First, we agreed on common working methods. We agreed to draft a questionnaire which would be the main tool for receiving the views, opinions, and recommendations of various stakeholders, starting with states members of the respective regional groups. Once the common questionnaire has been endorsed by all five of us, the second stage consisted in presenting it with the regional groups and circulating it to UN member states in Geneva through the regional groups coordinators, and setting a deadline for respondents to submit written replies. The third stage involved extension of our consultations to include civil society organizations and special procedures mandate holders. The questionnaire was made available to civil society organizations, and an in-person meeting with their representatives was held. We had also a substantive exchange of views on the subject with the chair of the Special Procedures Coordination Committee, Ms. Ishad Ifan. The fourth and last stage consisted in processing the received written responses and oral comments by various stakeholders in agreeing on how to reflect them in an as concise and yet as comprehensive as possible way, summarizing the main conclusions and drafting a report on the outcome of our work. The report entitled The Contribution of Geneva to the General Assembly Process to Review the Status of the Human Rights Council is now at your disposal, Mr. President. It is at your discretion to consider what further possible steps may be taken with regard to its conclusions. As far as the outcome of our work is concerned, in a nutshell, apart from the views of some UN member states that the Human Rights Council should not have been involved in the status review and that this process has to be strictly confined to the UN General Assembly in New York, a rich input from a number of member states and other stakeholders allowed to conclude as follows. Despite its status as a subsidiary body, the Council is a functioning body. In an increasingly polarized world, this is an achievement in itself. Yet, the Human Rights Council's success has led to the constant extension of its activities and sessions, making it difficult for stakeholders to always participate meaningfully, bringing the Council closely to the limits of what can be achieved in only three regular sessions per year, while the multiplication of crises and conflicts and the emergence of new issues are conducive to further extension of the Council's agenda. As funding decreases and expectations rise, the vast majority of stakeholders consulted during the co-facilitators process called for strengthening of the Council. On the basis of the substantive responses received from the stakeholders, a few desirable outcomes of the review process could be identified that would be expected to improve the effectiveness and enhance the impact of the Council's work. These outcomes could be achieved either as a result of a formal upgrade of the Human Rights Council's status to the level of a principal organ of the United Nations, or by simply improving its de facto status within the UN system without formally amending the UN Charter. Some stakeholders were of the view that it was preferable to maintain the current status while improvements could be pursued independently of the latter. Regardless of the path chosen, there was a trans-regional agreement on the need to strengthen the financial autonomy of the Council. These are our main conclusions and the main outcomes of our effort, Mr. President, and I thank you for your attention and your trust again.